If we happen to be at a church social night and we're playing a game of liturgical charades, and I picked out an act of worship that I had to convey to you in a charades, I'd feel fortunate if I picked this one because I think in four brief movements you would be able to guess. For it would be this. Any guesses? Blessing the wafer, Holy Communion, the Holy Eucharist. Four simple actions. Take, bless, break, give. If you had a chance to look at your bulletin before the service this morning or saw our weekly newsletter, you know that for the next 3 weeks and this week, so for this next month, I'm going to be focusing on those four words, those four actions which are at the heart of the heart of our worship, the celebration of communion each Sunday. Those four actions are rooted in the meal that Jesus had with his disciples 2,000 years ago, that last meal he was to share with them in his earthly life. We've come to call it the Last Supper. And if you look at Matthew or Mark or Luke's accounts of that meal, you'll see that it's really described very briefly about the way that on that night with them, Jesus took bread that was on the table and he gave thanks. He blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. One of the earliest Christian writers, Paul the Apostle, gives us an account of that same meal. It's a tradition that was already being handed down to him from the first followers and then to subsequent ones. And in their earliest celebrations of communion, Christians were already engaged in this pattern that Jesus himself established. So I'd like us to reflect on these four words in the next 4 weeks. Reflect on these actions as you make them at this table each week, but also as you enact them in your lives. Now, you might say, but we're not at the last table today. We're on a hillside in Galilee. And indeed, that's where John's gospel takes us, and we'll be hearing lessons from John for the next few weeks here in church. We've been brought there with a rather large crowd of 5,000 people who have come to listen to Jesus, and Jesus has told them to sit down. And although we're not in that upper room, I think this passage and these passages in the next few weeks can inform us equally as well about the meaning of communion in our lives. So let's begin today with the first word, and that word is take. Now that hardly seems like a Christian word. If I were to ask you to think of words that express the Christian life, we might think more appropriately first of words like give, offer, sacrifice, love, sometimes even deny. But take? Take? To take can so easily have the connotation of grasping or of hoarding, of holding on. I'll take what is mine, you take what is yours, and we won't worry about anyone else. But let's see what happens in the story on that hillside in Galilee. Jesus and his disciples look out amongst the many. It's clear there is simply not going to be enough food to go around. And in John's gospel, Jesus is so often portrayed as one who is fully well aware of what he is about to do and what the manifestation and results of his work will be here on earth. And an almost playful exchange between Jesus and Philip, Jesus says, "So where are we to buy bread for all of these people to eat?" And it's Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, who, when Philip says 2 months' wages would not be enough, comes forward with a young boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And then it happens. Jesus takes the loaves. John tells us that Jesus took the loaves, he took what was there, the meager offering of one boy, and then blessed it, broke it into pieces, and gave it to all who were hungry. So what does taking look like in this story? It means receiving what is there, what is given, however little it may seem, and then offering it to God in blessing and thanksgiving. And the result is abundance, food for all. So that's a very different way of understanding the word take. It's not about grasping, it's not about holding on, but rather about receiving something so that it can then be transformed. We see it on a hillside in Galilee, we see it in the upper room, and in fact, we see it in the very whole of Jesus' life, in the mystery of God fully present in this one human being. We see divine love taking on human form. The mind and heart of Christ is that of God who fully takes on human nature, human creaturehood. And what is the result? It's so eloquently expressed by St. Paul in his letter to the Philippians. Let this same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being found in human form. That is to say, Jesus took the life that he was given and offered it fully to the world and fully back to God. So when we take the bread at communion, we're not taking to grasp, we're not taking to possess, but we are lifting up a gift we have already received and what we've been given. I like the way the Eucharistic prayer that we're currently using puts it. In that prayer, we say to God, we present to you these gifts that your earth has formed and human hands have made. To take the bread and wine each week is to take what's already been given to us, however much or little it may seem, and to bring it to the altar. But we do more than that. For if Jesus is our model, then what it means for us to bring up that vessel of bread and that cruet of wine is to bring even more. You'll note it's no coincidence that we bring our offerings, our tithes, our sacrificial gifts along with that bread and wine. And in fact, the intention is that we bring our very selves, our very life, each of our lives, to this altar, and we pray, God, take these lives, take our loves, take our labors, that they may be blessed and broken and offered to the world. It's why I'm so grateful that we're now having various persons in the congregation bring forward the bread and wine each week. And this is not just one more list of scheduled things for people to do and to try to find people to sign up for. What I hope you will do if you are invited to bring the bread or to bring the communion wine forward, I hope you will think and meditate on the fact that as you bring them to the altar, you are bringing every one of us before God, and you are bringing our willingness to be blessed by God, to be sanctified by God, to be used by God. Even when it doesn't seem like enough, even when it seems like our gathering or our assembly may only be able to produce a few loaves of bread and a few fish, even when we consider our lives less than holy, even when we consider ourselves unworthy, even when we know we do not have enough, we bring all that, we bring it before God, and in the very best sense of that word, we take those things so that they may be blessed. For if you look at the whole history of God's revealing word through Scripture, isn't God constantly taking things and transforming them? In the very beginning of creation, God takes mud, earth, and forms a human being. And God takes those human beings and places them in a garden. God takes a people out of slavery, leads them to a promised land to fashion them into a people. And even when things go horribly wrong, as we heard in today's Old Testament lesson, when human beings, even leaders like David, so find themselves capable of sin and deceit and even murder, God is yet taking those persons, those communities, to heal them, to forgive them, and transform them. And so, my friends, I invite you to reflect on this story this week as we watch Jesus take what he was given in the loaves and two fish and in the life that he led, to watch how multitudes were fed so that we may offer ourselves fully to God in a self-emptying love that can transform the world. As we watch him take us with all our imperfections and all our gifts, in our weaknesses and in our strength, and we hear him say to us, go ahead and take your life and let it be an offering. Take your life and see it as the gift of God that it is. Take all that you have in your life and in this community and let it be transformed by my presence. For when you take this bread and drink of this cup, you are being formed in me and I in you. And furthermore, take each bread, piece of bread that you eat today. Take each cup that you drink, whether it is a glass of water, a glass of milk, or a cup of coffee, and see those first and foremost as gifts that you have received. Take your friendships. Take your spouses. Take your children. Take all of your relationships. See them as gift. And offer them back to God. To take is to pick up, but it doesn't mean to hold on. For in the very taking, our hands and our hearts are opened so that we in Christ empty ourselves in love, even as we are filled with the bread of life. Amen.